nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
And welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is November 6th, 2023. It is the first Monday of the month, which means we get our special guest from Germany live on the ground there, boots on the ground, Mr. Harley Schlanger. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Good to be back with you.
It is nice. It is nice to hear you come back. I also have my good friend Rob James will be joining us also. And we got a lot to talk about, Harley. We had a heated discussion last night. It was hotter than I ever wanted it. Ended the show in a very kind of a negative way, which I'm going to have to fix or figure out how to approach this and talk in the second hour. But as a lot of people are pretty angry right now, and this is a very volatile situation we're talking about here when it comes down to Israel and Hamas and Gaza. And the Palestinian people, and a lot of people are setting their ways on their discussion points on this, and that's pretty much what happened last night. So I'll put those fires out in hour number two, but I gotta get it from you, the perspective, what's going on in your neck of the woods there, Europe. When we talk about Israel, Hamas, Gaza, of course, also going to Hezbollah in Iran, which I believe is the final end chapter game of Israel. I kind of want to get your perspective on what's going on, the truth versus the mainstream media, what they're telling us, and the possibility, and I think it's a very strong possibility, that Russia is going to intervene and step up to the plate here, and which brings us into the possibility we're looking at a World War III type situation here, and many other countries coming in also into play here. This is a very dangerous time right now. I mean, if you launch one nuclear bomb, Harley, this is over, because there'll be retaliation and many bombs sent that way and this way. And we're talking about the extermination of the population, the people itself. So let's get your take on this. What's going on? And then we can also factor in Russia and Ukraine. That's kind of low key right now because of what's going on in Israel and Palestine, Gaza. So let's get your take on this.
Well, let's start with the idea that Biden is linking Ukraine and Israel, yeah, because he's using what he thinks is the support for Israel and the American people to overcome the opposition to funding the war in Ukraine against Russia. And I think this is on his part, one step too clever, because as people come to understand that the situation in Israel is not what we're being told, that it's not simply a question of a justified strike against terrorists. It's much more complicated than that. And people don't know it because we don't know history. We don't know the backstory, so to speak, just as people don't know the backstory about Putin spending 8 years trying to convince the United States to address the problem of the killing of people in the Donbass.
Right.
So let me start by just making a couple of general points.
Okay.
The Middle East has been an area of conflict for a long time, but to understand what's happening now, you have to go back to the middle of the 19th century and the collapse of the Ottoman Empire, that is Turkey, mm-hmm, and the desire of the British to move into that area to prevent the Russians or the Germans from going into the Middle East. Now, why were they worried about that? Well, because the British Empire was based on control of the seas. And if you look at the Mediterranean, the Suez Canal from the 1880s, the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf, the Indian Ocean, the British saw that as their territory. And their fear was that Germany and Russia might move into the area and use it for a land transportation corridor that would outflank the British Navy and destroy the empire. So all the activity of the last 150 years comes from that problem that the British had. How to create a situation where they could repeatedly intervene to maintain their control. And I'll be very brief on the history because there's a lot more to it than that. But during World War I, as the Ottoman Empire was collapsing, the British went in and moved into Palestine to take it over. And in 1916, they had a secret agreement with the French called the Sykes-Picot Agreement to split up the Middle East with Syria and Iraq under French control and Jordan and Palestine and the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula given to the British. Now, what gave them the right to do that? Well, they were the imperial powers. Then in 1917, they signed the Balfour Declaration, or Lord Balfour wrote a letter to Lord Rothschild promising a homeland to the Jews in Palestine. Again, what right did the British have to do that? Well, exactly. They could claim it's in the Bible, but the Bible is not a real estate contract.
That's right.
Now, from that time onward, there was a struggle to determine whether there should be a Jewish homeland and a Palestinian homeland. Would they be side by side? Would they be one state? And over the period from 1948 to the present, there have been three or four wars. There have been all kinds of confrontations. But what it boils down to is that this is an area of geopolitical manipulation for the purposes of protecting an empire. And what's that empire today? It's what Blinken calls the rules-based order or the unipolar order, the right of American and European corporate cartels to take sovereignty away from nations and control those nations through commercial agreements over the top, that is international banking contracts, World Trade Organization, IMF, and so on. And what we're seeing now is an awakening in much of the world, which says we don't want that rules-based order. We want to break from it. And that's, in a sense, what you see in Palestine. Now, I'm not defending Hamas or what they did on October 7th.
No.
But I'm saying you have to see that there's a backstory there. It goes back a long way. And the question, there are a number of obvious questions. I'm sure you've asked them, Steve. How did Israel, which has top-level security, technical capability, a strong army and spy networks, how did they get caught off guard?
Right.
How was there an intelligence failure?
Right.
Secondly, how did this play into what Netanyahu wants? Because Netanyahu has been in trouble. There have been hundreds of thousands of Israelis, including reserve officers, in the streets demonstrating against him as recently as 4 or 5 weeks ago, trying to get him out because he's trying to change the judicial system to avoid a corruption charge. Uh-huh. So the Hamas attack, whatever was behind it, is like manna from heaven for the war hawks.
Yeah.
It gives them a flank to connect to the Ukraine war. It gives Netanyahu an excuse to say, I need total control to go in and smash the terrorists. And it's based on an absolutely faulty perception, which is that you can go into a place like that, crush the terrorists, and that will bring peace. Yeah. Killing children is not a way to create peace.
Agreed.
And the problem is the war hawks in the United States are perfectly willing to give him a free hand because they see this not as about Israel or about Jews versus Muslims. They see this as a potential to use this crisis to consolidate their unipolar order, which is in trouble because of what's happened in Ukraine.
Yeah.
So that's a broad brush, but I think unless you factor in these kinds of considerations, including the long-term geopolitical doctrine of the empire, which was the British Empire, and now it's the Anglo-American NATO empire. Unless you factor that in, you end up in a situation where you say, well, our team is better. Our guys are better. The Israelis are better. The Palestinians are better. That's the way it gets reduced by the corrupt media, which has a big stake in continuing the spending on war. Because remember, Biden just used this to try to push through another $100 billion spending on military. When he's running in the opposition from the House of Representatives.
Well, it's a good excuse to boost up the Department of Defense, no doubt about it. They do this all the time. You know, I was thinking the other day, Harley, that understanding that, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but we do have a deep state that's controlling what's happening in government. And actually, I just received something today as a text, evidently that the mainstream media here in the United States has actually admitted this, that Barack Obama is doing his third presidential term right now. They slipped up and said this based on some dialogue they had with Obama. So we kind of all figured that. We didn't think Joe was really at the helm here, running the show here. But I started thinking about all the times that Netanyahu was so close to being removed. And I thought, geez, they're going to remove this guy. He's got a lot of corruption. He's got a lot of baggage, just like Joe Biden does. And for some reason, seems to skirt it and get out of the situation. The courts can't find him guilty. I don't know how they do this. Pretty much probably the same situation as Biden. They have the courts locked down. They have a corrupt system in place to keep him on, keep him as the leader. But then the deep state must be, you know, pushing for him to stay in office when other people are trying to remove him. So is that a possibility here that Israel has their own little Zionist deep state that has. Netanyahu in place there just for what their operation is going to be?
Well, I don't know if it's so much an Israeli deep state. I mean, Israel is an extension of the secret government or the shadow government in the United States. Okay. If you think about what I just said about the Sykes-Picot, the Balfour Declaration, and so on, it was in the interests of the British that Israel was created. And the British, of course, also were involved in creating Saudi Arabia by going in and recruiting the Saud tribe to become the masters of the Arabian Peninsula. They were involved in the 1953 overthrow of an Iranian government. Look what we've done in recent years, the U.S. Iraq war based on false pretenses.
Exactly.
The intervention in Syria to try and get rid of Assad because he wouldn't go along with the globalist world order. The destruction of Libya, because Gaddafi was not only not going along with the world order of Wall Street and London, but he was moving toward a gold currency pegged to oil for Africa.
Right.
So there's a tremendous amount of motion internationally that's going against the collapsing unipolar order. And the best the unipolar order can do is mediocrities at best, like Biden, like Schultz here in Germany, who you know, can barely cross the street, Macron in France, Rishi Sunak in the United Kingdom, who's probably about 3% higher in the polls than the coronavax. You know, you've got these terrible, weak governments that go against the interests of the population. So what do? They use war. We've got an enemy. Putin's going to attack all of Europe. Hamas is going to launch international terrorism against everyone. They use these boogeymen to justify a $1 trillion official defense budget in the United States. And who knows how much more there is in the so-called black budget, the off budget, and so on. So that's what we're dealing with. Now, what is Netanyahu? Netanyahu is part of the Zionist movement that was the so-called revisionist Zionism of Vladimir Jabotinsky, who created it as a pro-Hitler Jewish organization in the Middle East. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, called Jabotinsky Vladimir Hitler. Uh-huh. Jabotinsky's American aide was the father of Benjamin Netanyahu. And Netanyahu is one of these guys who basically says, the land of Israel is from the Nile to the Tigris River. And that's why you've got to start by throwing out the Palestinians. You got to bring the Jordanians under control, get rid of the Syrians, take over Lebanon. Right. And this is a classic smaller imperial outlook that serves the purposes of the global empire.
Right, right. You know, I watched a clip today where they're playing Lindsey Graham talking about we have to go into Iran, already convicting Iran and Hezbollah. We must take out their oil fields, their way of making money. And not even thinking about, first of all, you've already convicted somebody without actually showing any proof. I have a little problem with that. But also the environmental hazards of blowing up oil fields. I just can't believe that the environmentalists aren't even talking about this issue. But it seems to be, you know, I grew up as a conservative, very much a conservative still today. But growing up as a child, I remember my family being conservative. You know, the Republicans were always conservative, you know, and they become over the years, they become warmongers. And the Democrats were always for peace, the peace marches and the protests on the college campus. And now they're on board. It seems that all our politicians are beating the war drums right now, Harley. And that's very disturbing that no cool heads are prevailing right now at all. And I think that's what set off everything last night, is that the Israelis can go into Gaza right now, bomb the heck out of everything, and they can't discern from Hamas soldier versus a citizen. So they simply said, we can't tell. So rather shoot and be kill and be alive rather than know who's really Hamas, the enemy. And so I just see a heavy casualty situation
here. One of the things to look at is the hypocrisy involved. Here you have Biden saying that, well, we do want to have humanitarian protection of Palestinian civilians.
Right.
And then giving a total free hand to Netanyahu. And on top of that, giving him $14.5 billion that we don't have.
Right.
So how are you going to protect Palestinian civilians when the Israelis are saying, a million of you have to move from the north to the south of Gaza, and we're going to bomb the roads and the safe places that we're sending you to.
Yeah.
So the contradictions are so blatant. It's very similar to what we've seen in Ukraine, and I want to make sure we come back to Ukraine because,
Look,
we were told the counteroffensive was going to work, that Russia's weak, Putin is isolated, the Ukrainians are courageous fighters, which they are. But they're being courageously sent to their death by the NATO and Biden administration, which is doing it not for Ukrainian, the citizens of Ukraine, but to weaken Russia, because Russia is at the center of the move to de-dollarize the world economy.
Right.
Now, the other thing is they say, well, we're doing this to protect the United States, the citizens of the United States. The American people are suffering because of the terrible economic policies and military policies of the Uniparty. Because as you correctly pointed out, both parties are for war.
Yeah.
They're on the dole from the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
So, you know, the ironies and the hypocrisy is so blatant, but people don't see it because they get manipulated. Uh-huh. And they're manipulated by corrupt media, by censorship, but also by lack of knowledge of history, lack of knowledge of economics. We're actually, I was talking with a very prominent German former political leader the other day, and he said, you know, we looked at Merkel and used to say, boy, is she pathetic. She's a giant compared to what we have now. That shows you how bad things are.
Yeah, I totally agree. I listened to a retired colonel today, Douglas McGregor.
Yeah.
And I think he has a pretty good hand on what's going on, and I was really kind of surprised. We've got a commercial break here. We'll come back to that discussion here. My guest tonight in the first hour, Mr. Harley Schlanger. Stay tuned.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMontrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Again, my guest this hour, an expert in the area of political affairs going on in the world here, Mr. Harley Schlanger. Harley, I'm going to bring on my my co-host here in a second here, but I have one question to you, I guess. I learning today from a clip that I saw with Tucker Carlson interviewing retired Colonel Douglas McGregor, and Colonel McGregor mentioned that about 100,000 or more Egyptian soldiers were on the border right now of Gaza. So going back to my earlier statement about you can't tell a Hamas from a citizen or even a maybe an Egyptian soldier here, there's going to be some heavy casualties here, which is going to draw on the Arab nations to step up also. I think we're looking at a major situation here of a lot of Egyptian soldiers being killed in this push to go into Gaza and go into Palestine. And the Arab nations rising up, basically. We got an Arab nation war against Israel based on the heavy casualties I see to come. What's your take on this?
Well, so far, I think the Arab countries are doing what they can to move towards some kind of ceasefire and diffuse the tension, which unfortunately is coming from Netanyahu and from Biden. You know, Biden wants this war. He just sent Blinken there, and Blinken met with King Abdullah of Jordan, who's usually a U.S. ally. And Abdullah of Jordan said, why won't you call for a ceasefire? Don't you see the double standard that you're using? That if Russia goes into Ukraine, you say they have to be stopped and pushed out. But if Israel goes into Palestine, you say, let's arm them.
Yeah.
Then he met with Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, who said the same thing. And General al-Sisi in Egypt said the same thing to the Americans. Now, the problem you have is that the United States immediately responded after October 7th by sending in the two aircraft carrier strike groups, the USS Eisenhower and the USS Gerald Ford. There are something like 30-something ships, American ships in the area. There's constant overflight of planes and drones. Now, why are they doing that? Because they say we want to convince Iran not to get involved. Let me let your listeners in on a special secret about what's going on in Iran. Okay. The Iranians just got a deal with the Chinese that led to an end to hostility between Iran and Saudi Arabia. This is something that had been going on for a number of years, the Shia versus Sunni Muslims. Right. The fact that they came to a unity agreement, and what was it based on? It was based on China promising to come in and build railroads, power plants, help rebuild Iraq, Syria, work with Turkey. So it's not just an Arab coalition. It's part of what's sometimes called the Global South,
right,
that's moving against the unipolar order. And that's why this war was chosen by Biden and Europe to back Netanyahu to blow this thing up. Now, the danger is there that this could spread. The Egyptians are basically saying, we don't want 500,000 Palestinians who are poor, hurt, don't have any ability to sustain themselves. We don't want them pushed into Egypt.
Yeah.
Netanyahu has been on record as saying that it would be good to completely get rid of the Palestinian population into Egypt and Jordan. So the Egyptian foreign minister made a very interesting comment. He said, if you have a boatload of 60 immigrants land in Italy, the European Union goes berserk. Now you're saying Egypt should take 500,000 to 1 million Palestinians. That's not going to happen. And so what are they going to do, blame it on Egypt, that they won't let the Palestinians in that are being pounded by the Israelis? Well, you're right. At some point, there will be a much more powerful reaction in the Arab world. There were large demonstrations this last weekend. Over 1 million people marched in Indonesia against this war. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think the Biden administration is playing with a very dangerous situation. Now, on Russia,
I agree.
The Russians and the Chinese are calling for a peace conference. The Chinese are now the president of the UN Security Council for the next month. And I'm sure you saw what happened when a ceasefire resolution went before the UN General Assembly.
Right.
120 nations voted for it, and only 14 against it. And one of the 14, of course, was the United States.
I'll tell you what, that makes both parties look really, really bad. Here, somebody's calling for a ceasefire here. Let's get some cool heads in there. Let's figure this out. And we oppose that ceasefire. Yeah. That makes them look very, very bad. I think world support, if Israel had some support for what happened on that day when Hamas killed, the 1,200 people total, I think that support is gone now for what they see, what's really going on right now. I think that support is pretty much gone. And the likelihood that this could escalate into a World War III situation here is now playing heavily on everybody's mind. Now, I was thinking about the Pentagon themselves. I mean, we have gone through some terrible economic times up to this point right now. Our strategic oil reserves are very, very low. Our military might, as far as our machinery, it's down as low as possible. The Army numbers of recruits, way, way down. Yeah. We are not really able to really actually fight or get into a war whatsoever. Now, while we're actually getting drawn into this war to be supporting Israel, because there are great allies, supposedly, that's what they keep saying. Taiwan can be taken over by China at any time now. And because our eye is off the ball, what's really going on here? And Ukraine could actually be taken over by the Russians. So,
let me say something on Ukraine, which is important. Okay. Time magazine had a cover story this week about Zelensky being alone and quoted people who are close to him saying he's delusional, thinking that Ukraine can still win. Right. Now, remember, Time magazine made Zelensky the man of the year last year. So he's gone from hero to zero in the eyes of Time magazine. Now, what's really going on? The U.S. has come to realize that the deal that was signed in March 2022 between Ukraine and Russia to end the war, with Ukraine agreeing no NATO, with Russian control over the Donbass region, no weapons in the hands of the Ukrainians, that was the best deal they could get. And Zelensky was going to sign it. And Biden sent the goofy Boris Johnson in there with the message, no negotiations. And anywhere between, and this is Douglas McGregor's figures, anywhere between 250,000 and 500,000 Ukrainian soldiers are dead because of the refusal to accept that offer.
Exactly.
Now, meanwhile, what's the future for Ukraine? They're almost out of troops. They're bringing in people who are over 40 years old as in their draft that's to try and beef up their army. Mm-hmm. Europe doesn't have any more spare weapons. Right. In fact, the NATO is saying, what happens if Zelensky's right and Putin crushes Ukraine and then moves to the rest of Europe? What weapons do we have left?
Right.
Now, most Europeans know Putin has no intention of going to Berlin or Paris or Amsterdam. That's not the whole purpose of this. That's for the scare tactics to get the money. But everything about the Ukraine situation has turned against the people who said, we're going to use it to weaken Russia. So now they're saying we're going to use Netanyahu's army to stamp out terrorism in Gaza. It's delusional, and it comes from a certain arrogance. When you talk about the deep state, you're talking about arrogant people who think they control the world. And what they're finding is they can't control reality. And you mentioned a key point a minute ago. Mm-hmm. We don't have the money to support a global army anymore. That's why we're trying to get other people to do the dying for us,
right,
as opposed to Iraq, when we did send Americans in to die.
Right.
The empire is finished, and the problem is no one's going to tell Biden that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Yeah, we don't have the resources we had 10 years ago. We're strapped. The politicians, Harley, they know that the national debt being at $33 trillion is impossible to pay this thing down, and they know it. That's probably why they're thinking we'll go to a digital currency and do a reset and start all over again. But let me bring in my co-host. I'm sure he's got some questions for you. Rob James, are you there?
I am. Harley,
yes.
Great to talk with you. The thing, you're solid on, you know, what you're saying about all this, because as far as it, the geopolitical ramifications over there have been coming on for a long time. The Belt and Road Initiative, you've talked about that. Jim Willey's talked about that for a long time. And the redevelopment of the region. Well, we're becoming irrelevant, the United States, because the hegemony is no longer there, because we no longer have the power, because everybody realizes we're printing ourselves into oblivion. And as you say, if you study history, the history of every fiat currency, all 2,000 of them have collapsed and gone away. So right now, Biden's using this war to cover up his crimes, and on top of it, our collapsing economy. Because another bank in our country went down Friday. We had three major banks where people couldn't get their funds recognized in the morning. And we don't even find out nationally, you know, on TV that the bank collapsed. It was just a hush. But it was just a regional bank, nothing big, you know, in Iowa, nothing big. You know, so, you know, they're intentionally doing this all to distract us from that, Bibi, you know, Netanyahu, as you said, was exactly doing that. He's, I believe, he started a false flag to do this because he was about ready to be ousted.
Yeah,
so, could be.
You know, and you know, your thoughts on that stuff. Obviously, you understand the ramifications and the tangled web of the deep state, because, quite honestly, the only thing I disagree with you, sir, is labeling them as war hawks. I've gotten down to the point of they're Luciferian psychopaths. They don't care how many people they will kill. They will go to war and, like you say, send other people's children to war just to distract from whatever or get to whatever means. They don't care about anything.
Lyndon LaRouche wrote a book a few years ago called The Children of Satan, about the Cheney networks, the Project for a New American Century, the people behind the Iraq War. And I would agree with you. Being war hawks means they have weapons that can kill people. But what's their goal? Their goal is domination. Their goal is to destroy any possible alternative. Now, what's ironic is what we're seeing coming out of the BRICS in this move for de-dollarization is an attempt to go back towards something like the American system. And the United States is being deployed to stop it, because we're, as you say, adopting the classic case of an empire, which is hoping to use the loot they'll get in the future from taking over other countries to cover their debt. It's not going to happen. Look what happened. The French just got kicked out of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. These are small countries, but they said, we're not going to take your stinking empire anymore. Wow. So this is a big shift in world history. And what Americans should realize is that we're the bad guys here, but we could go back to our constitutional Republican traditions and maybe even join the BRICS or join with these other countries and go back to a sound currency and investment in real physical production. And that's the way to do it. That's the potential that we have if we could just get enough Americans awakened to recognize that people like Lindsey Graham don't give a damn about their future.
Well, we got a call coming in. Harley, if you don't mind taking a call, we haven't done that in a while, but this is listener-appreciated network. So if you don't mind taking a call, would that be all right?
Sure, no problem.
All right, let's go out to Florida and talk to Joe. Joe, you're on with Harley Schlanger.
Hey, Steve, thanks a lot for taking my call, and great to hear you. And Harvey, yeah, you know, thanks so much, because I think you're hitting it right on the mark. I want to see if you agree with my take, which is kind of a little, it's very close to what you're saying, but here it is. We need good news. We needed good news for so long. Well, it looks to me like 2023 is lining up to be a bad year for Jewish war criminals. Now, the first thing is the Ukraine war. Okay, we have Zelensky. And it's a fascinating thing, I just realized. So what's happened with Ukraine and then with this war, Ukraine war has split the Republican Party. You remember that basically there's no way of sending any more money to Ukraine now. Whatever else, even if it was a small minority in the House, Freedom Caucus and others stood up. And they basically have killed any further American aid in Ukraine. So there's been, it's kind of split the party. There's still Republicans supporting Ukraine. Now, this war, this other war led by a Jewish psychopath war criminal, is splitting the Democrat Party. You see more and more some of the far lefties, the squad, but also this Rashida Tlaib, people who I disagree on almost every single other thing, but they're standing up against the psychopath Netanyahu war criminal and saying this is genocide. I think I've heard these Democrats giving Biden a nickname, Genocide Joe, which I think is fully appropriate. So what do you think about that theory? It's actually splitting these two double Jewish wars are splitting both parties, and I think that's a good sign. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't call them Jewish wars. I would call them bankers' wars.
Yeah.
Because not all of the criminals involved are Jewish. But more importantly, on your point, look at the poll that the New York Times reported on yesterday. Biden is losing 5 of the 6 main states that he needs to win by 4 to 11%. The Democratic Party is, as David Axelrod, who I don't like, but Axelrod is right about this, they're undergoing tremors of fear about what will happen if Biden's the nominee. Yeah. Meanwhile, you have the lawfare being conducted against Donald Trump to try and make sure he's not the candidate for the Republicans, so that a Nikki Haley or a DeSantis or someone who's more amenable to the military-industrial complex will be elected. But here's the problem with all of these analyses. They're not dealing with the American people. The American people sometimes are very slow to react. It takes a while to get under the skin of most Americans because they're preoccupied with college football, with entertainment, and so on, the Kardashians. But once they start getting hit by a collapsing economy, an inability to pay for gas and food, they'll rebel. And they're going to rebel against both parties, especially the people in both parties who are part of this establishment. And what we've got to have is an awakened population which recognizes that the enemies of our country are not Russia, China, Iran, South Africa, Brazil. The enemies of our country are the corporate cartels and elites and the big tech and big pharma, and especially in the Federal Reserve banking system. Those are the enemies of America. And if people figure that out, we'll be able to take this country back and probably do a lot of good in the world. The problem is the media is so controlled that it's hard to get the reality through.
Right, right. I mean, I agree generally with the analysis. I just think that when we use euphemisms, globalists, elites, bankers, look, this is about Jewish power. You cannot ignore the fact that Zelensky that's a Jewish war against Russia by Zelensky and Nuland in the State Department and Blinken, totally run by Jews, crazed Jews that want to start World War III and start a nuclear war with Russia. And the same is true of the Jewish psychopath war criminal Netanyahu and the people who are supporting him. I think you're right, though. The American people, we're quiet. We're going to see what's happening, but we're waking up, and we're actually waking up to the dangers of Jewish power. Thanks a lot.
You know, Joe, I'm going to stop you for a second there. Joe, I'm going to stop you just for a second because I want to intervene.
Sure.
Only to say, I think I did the same. I made the same mistake before, and that I didn't distinguish between Jewish people, Israelis, Jewish, and Zionist. And I think what we're talking about, the psychopaths that Rob mentioned earlier, what he calls them, the psychopaths, and I have to agree they are, I think we're talking about the Zionist Jews, Zionist.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into a real debate, but even that, to me, is a distinction without a difference. There's two birds, there's two wings of the same bird of prey, the Zionist Jews and the socialist communist Jews, okay? And that's where the problem is, okay? We can talk about, oh, we love Jews. I don't hate Jewish people. I have friends that are Jewish. But the point I'm trying to make is that let's look beyond even the idea that, well, it's only the Zionist Jews or it's only the communist Jews. No, they're actually the same thing. They're Jews that should not be allowed this kind of power because they destroy countries when you give them that power. That's what's happened throughout history, and it's happening to our country. America is waking up to it, though, even though it's verboten to say it, you know, at least on RBN, and God bless John Stadmiller. I'm thinking of him today. We can actually talk about it because I happen to think that's the real issue. But Harvey, it's a great analysis, and I really appreciate the show tonight, Steve. Great show.
You got it. Hey, appreciate the call there, Joe. Any rebuttal, any comments to what he just said there, Harvey?
Well, I think he's missing the bigger picture, which is that the ultra-hardline Zionists who were put into Israel were put in there by the British after World War II. Zelensky, who, by the way, was never Jewish before he became the president, and it became useful to have a so-called Jewish figure to undermine the stories about the Nazis who were in Ukraine. But I think that the broader point here is that these imperial wars are fought by people who don't believe in the idea of the nation state. They're opposed to it. They're opposed to any sovereignty. And they'll use any people they can to undermine the ability of nations to act in the interest of their population. And if a country's going to work for its population, It's going to look for areas of agreement with potential enemies, the way Kennedy was moving on the question of the rapprochement with Russia. Kennedy was doing two things in June of 63. One, a back channel to Khrushchev, and two, taking down the Federal Reserve System. And, you know, when you see things like that, you begin to see what the real fight is. Kennedy paid for it with his life. Rabin broke with the Zionist people who wanted ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Rabin signed an agreement to work with Arafat for mutual economic development. He was murdered. So when you look at this, you see that it's not simply a question of religion. It's a question of who has the power to do these things.
Yeah.
And it's not a particular religion, except, as Rob was saying, it's actually people who are Satanists.
Right. Let me ask a question here. Is it possible, Harley, is it possible, a theory, that John F. Kennedy Jr. was taken out? Again, he was going after the Federal Reserve. But he was going after the Federal Reserve because of the Jewish domination on the banking system already that was being developed and the control. Is it a possibility that was also playing out?
Well, I mean, the whole question of John F. Kennedy Jr. has been covered up so much. I don't know enough about it at this point. I know a lot about the assassination of John F. Kennedy Sr. But I think we run into the censorship and disinformation industrial complex when you're talking about things like what happened with JFK Jr. What I will say is that the idea that you could have a family that would be moving against the oligarchy, the Anglo-American oligarchy, is a threat. And I think that's why John F. Kennedy Jr. was taken out, if in fact he was taken out.
Yeah.
And that's why even though I don't agree with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his take on Israel, he's absolutely right on Ukraine and also against Big Pharma and the big corporate cartels. And I fear that he's going to be a target also, because this idea of families that oppose the ruling families usually meet bad ends. So
yeah, agreed. Harvey, what's the viewpoint of Germany, in France and other countries in Europe? What's going on right now? Supportive or withdrawing? And are they part of that group of nations that said, we want a peaceful resolution, we want a ceasefire?
Well, I think the people of these countries do. I mean, I just was at a meeting tonight with a group of just ordinary Germans. And, you know, the first thing they say is, well, you know, we have to support Israel. And I say, why? And then I tell them what I'm thinking, and I say to them, now, you know why you won't think the way I'm thinking? Because Germans are told that if they don't support Israel, they're anti-Semites, just like Hitler.
Right.
And everyone kind of was shocked that someone would say that, but they all agreed. Germany is an occupied country. Germany's electricity prices are skyrocketing. We have no oil and gas because of the Biden blowing up the Nord Stream pipelines. Right. And the German government won't say a word about it. They're the worst bunch of cowards I've ever seen. As far as France is concerned, Macron comes from the banks. He was with Lazard Frere. He was with Rothschild Bank. And he's highly unpopular. You know, the three parties that make up the German coalition government, in the latest poll, they're at 30% for the three of them. The Greens are going to be voted out. The Free Democrats are going to be voted out. And even the Social Democrats are collapsing. The parties that are growing in Germany are the Alternative for Deutschland, which is called a right-wing Nazi party, but they're really just anti-EU and anti-NATO. And the so-called left-wing Sarah Wagenknecht, who's now getting about 20-something percent support. So what we're seeing is the German people turning against the government. And what's the government going to do? They've already committed economic suicide.
Yeah.
The German auto industry is on its last legs, and it's going to relocate to the United States and China. German chemical industry, Bayer, Hearst, the big companies, can't stay in Germany because they can't afford the electricity. So we're seeing a downward plunge in Europe. And the problem is they're terrified to speak the truth. And in Germany, on the Middle East, I don't think any German politician will tell the truth about Netanyahu and Israel, because they're still traumatized by the fact of they were accused of collective guilt for the Nazis.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. Rob, James, you have a question for Harley? Anything else?
Sure, Harley. And you go back, you talk about Germany being where they're fallen. They've fallen from such a liquid nation. They were economically an economic powerhouse before they agreed to the EU, the one monetary system.
Rob got a commercial break here. Hold that thought, Rob. Hold that, Rob. We'll come right back to you. Stay tuned.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken.
And we are back. We're going to return back to my co-host Rob James's question to Harley. So go ahead and finish up there, Rob.
So Harley, what I was getting at, obviously you saw it when they brought the euro in and everybody had to jump on board, and then they brought the dispersion of the Muslim immigration and all that. throughout everywhere, including Sweden, which became, you know, they've disintegrated literally all the countries. Do you see, I remember hearing about Germany, that there was a big battle for the southern region for the heritage. I know that's the one world government, destroy, muddle everything, and everybody becomes whatever. And my question is, how is Germany reacting throughout this? Are they able to get any ground, regain ground in this whole, you know, it's a world battle. It's a struggle for, you know, control of humanity. I know that, but.
You know. Well, you identified the problem. It's the European Union. And the Germans had an opportunity in 1989, 1990 to break with the, at that time, the George H.W. Bush administration. Remember, George H.W. Bush was the one who proclaimed there would be a new world economic order.
Yeah.
And the Germans didn't like that. And they, when the Soviet Union fell, they had a plan of going in and helping the Russian economy develop. And instead, what happened is the British and the Americans sent in bankers and looted Russia. And at that point, Germany was left without any power. They were pulled into the European Union. There were people in Germany that opposed the EU, that opposed the giving up the Deutschmark. The Deutschmark used to be one of the strongest currencies in the world. The euro is like the dollar. It's basically run out of central banks. And people in Germany are not happy with it. But as I said earlier, Germany is still like an occupied country. It's completely dominated by American politics, American economics, American foreign policy. And everything that the Germans have done, especially around Ukraine and now around Israel, is going to hurt Germany even more. So, you know, what we're doing, what the Schiller Institute is saying is, you know, break the control, break out from under this Anglo-American domination. It's not even America. It's the corporate cartels that control the government in the United States. And let me, because I know we're coming up on the end here. If people want to know more about what I'm doing, what our organization is doing, either in Germany, France, or the U.S., you can write to me. And I'll send you a link to our website where you can get my daily video update. So you can send it to me at harleysch@gmail.com. That's harleysch@gmail.com. And Steve, I think you know, I do answer all the requests I get from people at RBN.
Yes, you do. Appreciate that. We have a pretty smart audience. I know sometimes they throw you some good questions, don't they?
Yeah.
They do. Again, Harley Schlanger, thank you very much for being with us tonight. We'll see you again next month in December. And I do appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing your expertise of the situation. Thank you again, sir.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'll see you next month.
All right. Second hour coming up, National Intel Report. Stay tuned.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.